Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Marriage and More podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people? Welcome to Marriage and More with your hosts,
Soretta
and Sterling Smith.
Well, we talk about love, life, marriage.
And a whole lot more.
And a whole lot more.
Yes, it. All right. My wife is sort of under the weather on this week's show. So she put me on the wheels of steel to handle things. And I'm going to start off like she normally would start it off. So how are you feeling, Mrs. Smith?
Like you said, a little under the weather, had a little procedure done, and that involved my throat and my voice. And so a little under the weather, but nevertheless, I'm here, thankful to be here. So I'm not complaining. And the end result was that everything is good to go. So happy about that.
Yes, through it all, I'm looking at her. I still love her just as more and just as much because that's my lovely, lovely wife. And so we'll just launch in, Soretta. What's going on with you this week?
I'm upset with the Boston Celtics.
You're upset with the Boston Celtics?
Yep.
What'd they do to you?
They lost. They gave away a game. They should be up. They should have been up as of this show. They should be up 4-1.
Well, it should be over then if they should be
up. Yeah,
so
they should be won. They should have won. Right. Is that at least 3-1?
Yeah. I could see how you could possibly see it that way. But like I said, basketball is unpredictable. Boston looks as if they have the better team, but their coming together didn't come together right for this time. I think they're a little bit tired because the previous two series, they played 7 games, and I think it's starting to show now. And I call it the experience factor kicks in also with Golden State being a experienced and battle-tested team over the last, I call it, 5 to 6 years. They've been there, and I think it's coming to flow to the top that their experience is taking over the game. And right now they're looking like they're about to hang up another banner or become the champions, and it'll be 4 in the last 8 years.
Well, it is what it is. I was really hopeful for Boston. Great coach, great group of guys, but it ain't over till the fat lady sing. That's what they say. So
yeah, they gotta show up tomorrow night, or it will be over. And hopefully they do show up because once the basketball season is over, I mean, there's other sports out there, but they really don't catch my eye. I'll pay attention to them, but that's not like the NBA is my thing. The NBA and the NFL, that's my thing, and I sort of keep up with that and try to ride with it. And it's just good talking points because everybody has a favorite, everybody has somebody who they like, and everybody has a team that they're interested in those two sports.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we need to go ahead and give our disclaimer.
What's the disclaimer? I'm not good with the disclaimer.
That we're not licensed professionals.
No, we're not.
Or therapists,
none of that.
Or clinicians,
as my wife would say, clinicians. That's that big word. We're not none of that, any of those things. All we are is two people that have been married for in excess of almost 28 years, and we've been together for in excess of 30 years that I think we can have something to offer. We're experienced. We're in love with each other for life, and I think we can have some things to offer to people that are out there that will help them in their marriage or when they're going through a situation or time, they can revert back to what we've said here and move forward from there.
That's the hope. And as we are moving into our show today. I know when it was Mother's Day, we set aside time for a show where we talked about the moms in our lives. We talked about our moms and the women in our lives that play a significant role, and we kind of honored those women. And so we're moving into Father's Day, and we want to do the same thing because the Bible says to honor your mother and your father, that your days will be long in the earth. It is the only commandment that comes with a promise. And so when you honor your mother and your father, then God promises that you will have a long life. And so, I'll kick off the show. I will start talking about my dad. My dad is Winston Davis Sr. He is a Vietnam War veteran.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you for your service, Pops. My dad was a military police, and he loves to tell stories about the Vietnam War. He was one of the only African-American supervisors for a big company, a big factory plant company during the 70s and 80s. And so that was something I was really proud of because he was like one of the only African Americans in this company. It was a big time company, still is a big time company, but they no longer have that particular plant or facility in our city. My dad is very outgoing. He's funny. He has a great sense of humor. He's always been a great provider, and he loves to tell his stories. He taught me how to drive my very first car, which was a Volkswagen Beetle, one of the old Beetles. And I remember how he would have me drive up and stop right in the middle of the hill.
Obviously, you must have had a standard.
It was a stick shift, okay? They don't make too many of those. Young people don't know nothing about that these days.
Yeah, if you want to keep your car, just buy a stick shift and put the car out there. The kids will never be able to drive it these days because it's a lost art.
Yeah, and he would have me drive right up and get in the middle of the hill and stop the car. And then I would have to, that's how I learned.
He would want you to stop it from rolling back.
Rolling back and going forwards.
Yeah, he wanted you to balance it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's how I learned how to balance that clutch and that gas.
Yeah, she was working that clutch, that clutch.
Yeah, and it took me a minute, and then the car would just jerk and jerk and jerk. And, of course, my brother, who was my baby brother at the time, would be sitting in the back of the car saying, "She gonna kill us, she gonna kill us," you know? So I remember stuff like that. I remember the MP dog Trooper, when he retired, he brought Trooper home. He was a German Shepherd. It's so many fond memories. And I always remember my dad used to tell me stuff like, "One day when you get grown and you have your own kids, you'll understand what I'm saying to you." And there came and there has come many points and times in my life where I'd be like, "Now I understand what my dad was talking about." I remember when he used to tell me, like, "When you get grown and you get your own kids, you'll understand." My dad is an avid golfer. He loves golf. Golf is his mistress. He's been putting balls in the backyard since the early 70s and 80s. And the kids laughed. You know, they laughed at my dad. They laughed at us. They picked at us about our dad hit golf balls in the backyard.
Because they couldn't envision a black man playing golf at that time.
At that time, right. And he has traveled the world. He's seen Tiger play in Dubai. He loves golf. It is my dream to bring my father to the Masters here. I'm hoping. I just signed up and put my name in the hat. I registered to get tickets, and it's my dream to bring my dad here. And we don't even have to go to like the main event. Like it can be like one of the like when they have the ladies time or the different the amateurs or stuff like that. I just want my dad to see the Masters and to go into that golf course and see, because they say it's one of the most beautiful,
it's immaculate
golf courses in the world. And so My dad's always taught me to work hard. He always told me if I got a good education and worked hard that I could have anything, I could be anything, and I could do anything. And so he really instilled that heart, that work ethic, and that drive that I could have the American dream and be successful. And so, yeah, my dad's one of a kind. He loves his grandkids. He, again, is just, you know, a great guy, fun to be around, lots of fun. And happy Father's Day, Winston Davis Sr. We call him Senior. And he called last week and he was like, look, I don't be buying me nothing for Father's Day. I got everything I need. Right now I got so much stuff. I can't even hardly move around. And, you know, don't go out there putting yourself in a bind, getting me anything. And so, you know, I'm going to honor his wishes. And I'm just thankful that he is blessed to that degree, and we're thankful for him and want to wish him a happy Father's Day. The next father that I want to honor is my brother, my baby brother. He gave me three beautiful nieces, and because I had all boys and he had all girls, and so I got to live through them as little girls, buying the clothes and shopping for little girls. I had three nieces, and so I had lots of fun doing that. And they are phenomenal women. My brother is an awesome dad, a great provider. He's much like my dad. He really is. He is a big Eagles fan. When I say Winston Davis Jr. is a Eagle fanatic, he is like one of these. He knows the Eagles song.
Yeah, the fight song.
He can sing the song. I mean, he loves the Eagles, and y'all went to a game.
We went to the Eagles game. We went and seen the Carolina Panthers playing the Philadelphia Eagles in Charlotte, of course. And it was a sight to see because he was around other Eagle maniacs. And it was like as if they were related with how they talked, the Eagles talk, and how they knew everything about it. They had their jerseys on. I mean, they was just, you would have thought they known each other if they were related. And what was so funny about it was that an Eagle fan would say something and he would be able to finish the phrase that they were saying. And eventually the Eagles, even though they were playing in Carolina, they took over the Carolina Panthers stadium, these Eagle fans. And like the Eagles, they travel very well. And if she could have seen her brother's face, she would have been amazed because he was lit up with all this Eagle. He had on his old throwback Eagle jersey.
Oh, I saw the Facebook post.
Everything.
I saw the Facebook post. I was like, Lord, that boy is going to get beat up there. I mean, they were wide open. Them Eagle fans were wide open. And so, yeah, he's a great guy. He sells cars. He's you know.
Sells high-end cars.
Yeah, high-end cars, Mercedes-Benz. And so he's doing his thing. United States Army veteran, Desert Shield, Desert Storm veteran. And so super proud of him. We tell people growing up, we was like JJ and Thelma, man, you know. And so you know how that story ended. And so that's who we are. And so shout out to my baby brother. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Rad. Man, just watching you. With your daughters is amazing with how you stay in their lives. Keep doing what you're doing, Rab, and hey, have a great Father's Day.
All right, I'll let you highlight some of the fathers in your life.
Well, speaking of fathers, I'll start off with mine. He really wasn't in my life. I think we may have touched on this before. Like I said, he I guess he had some reason where he walked out of my life at the age of two. And from that point on, hey, people came in my life and filled that role as a father, mainly my grandfather. So even though is there a Grandfather's Day?
Grandparents Day.
Yeah, there's a Grandparents Day, but I'll always say to my my grandfather, his name was Eddie Moore. I'll send a shout out to him as playing a big role in my life as a father, because I mean he always made sure that I had everything or needed everything that required for me to exist in life at the early age that I needed, and not really, I knew who my father was, but not being able to put a picture or a face on a father figure. He served that role very well, and especially with the life of growing up being very poor, living in a rural area. He would always come over every weekend and made sure that we were doing what we were supposed to do. He always made sure. One thing I always make, what I can remember with him with being the father figure, he would always make sure that I had my hair cut. And, you know, back during the time when I was growing up, which would be the 70s and 80s, you know, everybody was trying to wear afros and all that stuff. But granddaddy didn't. My grandfather, he didn't play that role. He would always make sure that we had the military cuts, the low cuts, and not knowing that he was actually before his time, because that was the style, having the low cuts with the waves and everything. And he made sure my hair was always on point and cut throughout those young years, even though it might have caused confusion in school, because everybody else was trying to wear afros and braids and all that stuff in their head during that time frame, showing the black power thing. No, my grandfather was always about being clean cut and looking presentable to the public. Now, back to my father, my biological father. Like I said, I was at the age of, how old was I, Serena?
32.
About 32, where finally my older sister, she called me and said that, hey, she had like a, I guess, a surprise, and she wanted to enlighten me on something, that she said that she had made contact with my father. His name is Sterling Shorter. He's passed on and gone on to glory now. But at that time, she had made contact with him. And so she was she immediately went into planning to how we could get, I could go see him and actually hold a conversation with him and just say, hey, why? What happened? What led to you just walking away from a family that you had? And just to find that out, I don't know what his reason was, but only God and him knows why he walked away. But in between, from the time that she planned a trip and us getting there, he had a massive stroke. So to dwell on that, I never really did get to have the conversation that I wanted to have with him, where I could get feedback from him and answers for what he did and why he did what he did during that time frame. But nevertheless, I had to do some soul searching, some talking with God and everything, and talking with my lovely wife. And she convinced me to go, to just pay some type of respect to him as being my father.
Because the Bible said, honor your mother and father. It didn't say if they were the best parents, if they made mistakes, if they, you know, you still have to show the honor, because it's his seed is the reason why you're here.
Yes. And I was very angry at first, you know how you plan out a conversation of what you're going to say and how the conversation is going to go, and you're going to give this person, you're going to give them the business, and you're going to go in on that person, because like I said, I was 33 at the time, so it had been, 31 years of not knowing, just knowing a name, but I couldn't place a face on him. He could have walked by me 3,000 or 4,000 times in life previous to this. I would have not known that he was my father. But like in the meantime, like I said, we planned this out, and I eventually drove there. And what was so unique about this at the time, we had just had Jalen. He was still he wasn't even walking yet, was he?
Seven or eight months.
But I took my middle son, he was three, and I took him with me to go there. Which I thought would be cool, because I was gonna show to him that, hey, this is what you walked out on in life. This is the man that I became. I made it in life. I did something good with my life. And I have a family now that I grinded it out, stayed there with them through the ups and downs. And I did it. I achieved something. I was in the military at the time. I was going to, hey, I'm a military man, and he had been in the military in his life too as a young man. I don't know if he retired or anything, but he served his time in the military. But I was going to show him that, hey, I was in the military. I was doing something good with my life through this trail in the military. Hey, I've got a family. I have a lovely wife, and I have 3 sons out of all this. And so, I took my son and his Vashon with me, and we went there. And we went to my sister's house, and then from there we went to visit my biological father. And like I said, he was at the hospital then. He was in the hospital, and right when we got there, and we walked in. And of course, you know, me being who I am, I'm looking at him to see like, hey, I got this look from him, this like this, that, and the other. But I had been told all my life that you look just like your dad. And of course, like my older brothers and sisters, they had envisioned him and they could see him. They had seen him before, and they said, yeah, you look just like your dad. Da, da, da. You even have mannerisms of him. And so I got there. And all that anger and animosity that I had and all my planned out conversation of how I was going to go in and give him the business and tell him like, hey, you left my mom, you left us, you left my other brothers and sisters out there. It all went away. All I could see was someone that was in a bad state of health and it was declining bad. And I couldn't find myself to say anything bad about him. So I talked to him, and just through talking to him with his new wife, and I would look at her to see if she could tell me anything of what was going on with him. And she said that if he is blinking his eyes and his eyes are going real fast, that he is acknowledging and he hears every word that you're saying. And just by looking at him through the conversation I was having with him and saying, and I was asking why, and I would say little things to him and say, hey, I don't know what caused you to go to walk out. His eyes was really blinking and really flashing. So I asked his wife at the time, what does all that mean? She said, well, he's in shock that you're standing in front of him, and he's in shock also how much that you look like him when he was your age. And I was like, wow, I'm like, I guess all the stuff that that my older brothers and sisters had been telling me was true. And right from that point on, he got his health declined even more. And eventually I just came there, and before he eventually passed, I told him that I love him, I forgive him, and says other few things that were near and dear to him that he could acknowledge that. And, you know, from just by me saying that, that lift a heavy burden off of me. I was at peace with him. Hopefully he was at peace with me. He got to see, and eventually he got to meet all his grandchildren. From me and Soretta, he got to meet them all. And I remember one little last thing about him. We was there, and Sean and my youngest son was being bad in where he was at. And he didn't utter a word. He said something, and it was funny. And that was that. But like I said, but the person that really raised me as a father is my grandfather. And I have a couple of brothers that have children. And my older brother, he's passed on and went to glory. My brother Donald and my brother Craig, they have children, which means I just want to say to them, hey, you guys have did your thing as fathers, and I'll say happy Father's Day to you. And hey, keep doing what you're doing, because your children will love you and stay in their lives, and just even though they're older now, they still need you. that's when they probably need you the most. You will not know this, but they need you the most because you can help them, I call it, navigate this thing called life, because experience is the biggest thing out there that most young people, they act like they don't want it from us as parents or as fathers, but they need it. Whether they're daughters or whether they're your sons, they need that. They need you in their lives, even though they are older. They need you there. But just to all fathers out there, I'm just going to say happy Father's Day to y'all. And this is a time of like we don't get that many days because most of the holidays are geared toward the ladies.
Whatever.
As like you
get, whatever. Like,
but they are. The holidays are geared toward ladies. Whatever. Because we usually get a barbecue grill or something like that, which means. But like I said, as gift-wise, I have the greatest gift that I could actually have from my wife. And that's the three sons that she's helped me raise and bring through life. And just having her in my life and keeping me balanced and stable. And just being able to wake up and look at her every morning, even though she snores.
Whatever. I got a CPAP machine now. I don't snore anymore.
She's still cranked up. And just to let her know, I love her.
Well, happy Father's Day to you, Sterling, as we're embarking upon it. Unfortunately, I won't be here on Father's Day, so we're going to have a do-over when I get back. We're going to get that mani-pedi and hang out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, you have been a great example, not just to our children, but you have fathered many in your military career. Many of your soldiers have looked up to you. You have been that father figure for them. You've been an example that a lot of times people like to blame their circumstances and their situations on their behavior and why they are where they are and why they have not achieved or why they have not been able to attain success or things of that nature. And so you've been an example that, you know, you can overcome. You don't have to allow your circumstances and your situations to dictate the outcome of your life and what your future can hold and what your future can be. All you have to do is make a decision. I say chances, choices, and consequences. And you just have to choose that I'm going to have a better life. I'm going to not allow what happened to me to just dictate, you know, that I'm going to just lay down in the gutter and just give up on life. And say, you know, what if, and because this happened and because that didn't happen, I'm not able to do what I do. And so that's a testament in and of itself. And, you know, I remember those conversations and it took courage to go to see your father. I remember watching you there with him in the nursing home, wiping the drool from his mouth, feeding him, you know, just being there the times that we did go visit, and that took courage and forgiveness and forgiving him. And still, I remember when he was in hospice and we were on the cruise ship and we got the call, and we didn't even know until we got off the cruise and were on our way home. We had gotten the call days before, while we were on the cruise and out at sea, that he was in hospice. And I knew that he was waiting for you. And so I remember going, and we went, and you said your peace and your goodbyes. And then a day or so later, he passed. And so even though he wasn't able to articulate with his words, his eyes often spoke of his regret. And but also his love and his thankfulness in you forgiving him, in you bringing, he would watch those kids and his eyes would light up. I remember the boys would lay hands on him and pray for him and tell him, "Granddaddy, you gonna be all right." And so he, you know, his latter days, even though he was sick and bound to a bed, you were able to bring some joy and hope and light to his life, and God's going to bless you for that always and forever. And so thank you for being that great example to our kids and to the, again, the many people that the many young people, both male and female, that you didn't birth, but you fathered.
Yes.
And so thank you and for all that you continue to do for me and for your family. I want to give a shout out to my uncles, my Uncle Johnny, my Uncle Robert, my Uncle JC. I want to give a shout out to them, my three uncles. They were like fathers growing up as well. So many memories and stories. And so I certainly want to recognize them. Want to shout out to my brother-in-laws. You've already called their names. But happy Father's Day to them. Yeah, I want to wish some spiritual fathers, Dr. Johnson, Dr. Charles Johnson out in Arizona. Very key and instrumental in our lives. Happy Father's Day to Dr. Johnson out there in Arizona. Happy Father's Day to Bishop Ulysses Barber, right here local. We love the Barbers, and so we want to wish Bishop Ulysses Barber a happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to the Reverend Dr. Everett Kelly. Reverend Kelly, Dr. Kelly, union mentor. We want to wish Dr. Kelly a happy Father's Day. I'm trying to think. Any more fathers?
I would not be remiss if I did not wish this person a happy Father's Day. Actually, he made us grandparents to my son.
Oh, yeah.
Sterling Vandolph Smith III. I'll call him Junior because I don't get off into that, putting numbers on generations. But he and his lovely I call it our daughter in love, Erica Smith. They made us grannies.
It's his first Father's Day. So I did get a card in the mail to him. So I didn't forget about him. But yeah, it's his first Father's Day. And let me tell you, he is
truly.
Get so much, my heart gets so warmed watching him.
He's a girl dad.
With her. Like how he's so in love. And I just light up just watching him with her. And so, yeah, happy Father's Day, Junior. You are a wonderful dad. And I love my grandbaby, and I love watching you love her and you love Erica. So, yeah, happy Father's Day.
Yes,
yeah.
I see so much of how he goes about loving his daughter of the same love that I had for him, Sean, and Jalen. It's just, I can see so much of him, of me in him.
All right. Well, listen, I want to give a couple more shout outs. Happy Father's Day to Benny Randall, the motivator. Happy Father's Day, Dr. Will Moreland. Happy Father's Day, Dr. Vernette Johnson. I'm just trying to think. Happy Father's Day to Nick James. Want to wish Nick James a happy Father's Day. Jamal Cummins, Larry Dash,
Dennis Dowdell,
Maurice Handy. Happy Father's Day. Look, we could go on and on and on. So we hope you enjoyed our Father's Day edition, and I hope you enjoyed listening to Sterling as he shared his heart. And I hope that his story will motivate and inspire, encourage someone today who has not reached out to their father in years to reach out before it's too late. Don't hold grudges.
Yeah, don't take your anger with you.
Yeah, don't hold grudges. Forgive and find your father. Tell your father happy Father's Day. And stay tuned after we are off for some announcements on how you can follow us on social media. And we just want to always remind you about our marriage mantra. And it says, the more you put in your marriage,
the more you'll get out of your marriage.
Until next time, happy Father's Day. Take care.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the show.
much more.
Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.